crown, though Connors agreed to enter rehab. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
Welcome to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660, your place for biblically informed conversation on issues that matter. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gipshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry and how you can make a tax-deductible donation, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now, here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, the Lord Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. The Lord Jesus certainly talking about mercy ministry. He's talking about the fact that believers in Him have compassion for those who are downcast, for those who are downtrodden, for those who are hungry, for those who are poor, for those who are oppressed. The scripture is replete with admonitions to us to have a concern for the widows and the orphans. God is concerned for the widows and the orphans. And so I don't think there's any doubt that we're to have that kind of concern. But here's the question. We talk about marks of a biblical church. We talk about baptism, Lord's Supper. We talk about the preaching of God's Word, sound doctrine. We talk about church discipline and how these things are essential marks of a New Testament church. And there are those who are saying today that if we don't have some type of mercy ministry to the community or to the world at large, i.e. if we are not interested in helping AIDS victims, if we're not interesting, or rather, some of us are not interesting at all, but if we're not interested in helping those who are hungry, even in an official capacity. In other words, we must have some sort of a official ministry in the church where we're reaching out to folk who are hungry. If we're not engaged in a social ministry, a social type of gospel, well, we're just not the true church. Others would say, well, that's not exactly true. So with these introductory remarks on the table, I'm sort of setting up what we're going to be talking about today on Calling for Truth. We're going to be talking about mercy ministry, the importance of it, the place of it, the significance of it, and all kinds of questions, believe it or not, are going to be raised. And I hope that we're going to be answering some of those questions, and I hope that you will indeed join the conversation at 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Kevin, an important topic today, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is, Paul. When we look at this this topic, like you just said, there's so many verses in the Scripture that talk about us having mercy upon people. In fact, I think it's a natural outflow of the fact that mercy has been shown to us as believers. Mm-hmm. Because we have received mercy from God, we should be merciful to others.
Right,
right there in the Beatitudes mentioned by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's certainly something that must be part and parcel of the Christian life, and we're not questioning that at all. In fact, maybe we could even build upon that and just we talk a lot about good deeds on this broadcast and about how good deeds should flow out of good doctrine. Good thinking leads to good living, and we should. That is certainly proper and biblical to talk that way, and that should be done. But what we're just asking here today is, what place should mercy ministries play in the church corporately? And this is where the question gets a little bit interesting, especially around this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
You have a number of churches and just even secular organizations that raise money for homeless or provide food or canned good drives or Toys for Tots or all these types of programs that we have around this time of year. And very often, Christian churches are involved in that. And I think that in doing that type of work, it raises this question about what should our emphasis be in the church concerning mercy ministries. That's a little bit dangerous of a question.
Yeah, it is.
It's like a politician talking about Social Security, that third rail. You're not supposed to question in any sense mercy ministries in the church. You're not supposed to evaluate what the church is doing on these issues. You're not supposed to audit it at all. You're just supposed to go along with the flow. But I think that it would do us well to just pause for a minute and think about what we're doing and just assure ourselves that we're doing what the Scripture tells us that we need to be doing as a church.
Well, we as a church have had differing kinds of mercy ministries over the years, and right now we have a committed group of folk in the church, by way of example, who go to the prisons, and in particular once a month they go down to the state penitentiary, and they minister to about 300 people. They preach the gospel, and then they have one-on-one discipleship, et cetera. And, you know, Jesus said, you know, if you visit those in prison, well, you visited me. And so we have these things. But I think the question that we're asking, and Kevin, you correct me if I'm wrong, and that's just a phrase. I don't think there's going to have to be a correction. But just for clarification, and I may need to be clarified, but anyway, I don't think the question that we're raising today is it okay for the church to engage in mercy ministry? In fact, I think we've said that Christians are merciful. The church is merciful. But I think the question, if, you know, for the sake of perfect clarity, must the church have an orphanage, for example? Must the church have a specific mercy ministry in order to be the church? Isn't that the question that we're dealing with?
That's right. And the importance of mercy ministry in the church, which is in that same question. For instance, there was one preacher recently that was quoted as saying this, an evangelical preacher proclaimed from his pulpit, he said that mercy ministry is as important as ministry of the word. Now that's raised it to a whole new level.
That's right.
And what we're questioning is the emphasis, the priority that it should have in the ministry of the church. Is it really to this level that the mercy ministry is now as important as the ministry of the word to the church? Is it equally important? Those are the types of questions that I think this raises, that we have to say, especially as pastors and ministry leaders that are listening to us, deacons and elders, you know, we've got to be constantly evaluating whether we are doing the work of ministry. It's so easy to get caught up in just activity in the church and just spin our wheels and try to make ourselves feel better by doing a bunch of these types of activities where we may not be doing, putting the proper emphasis on what needs to be put on, and may not be doing the ministry of the Word of God in the most efficient way and effective way possible.
Yeah, and I think there's also a danger in losing the gospel itself if you go too far with some of this, and that's why we're raising the issue. We're certainly not saying don't be merciful.
Right.
We're not saying
exactly.
Don't engage in mercy ministry. But you take an individual like Rick Warren, and this is not, you know, shoot Rick Warren week.
Right. That was last week.
That was I was talking with a pastor this morning, a fellow pastor, and he asked me about the Rick Warren situation, and I just expressed some thoughts, and he expressed the same kind of thoughts, and his concern was, all right, you bring a guy like Rick Obama in, and you have him make a speech, and it's not in the worship service, but nevertheless, you're locking arms, and so now what you're going to do is fight AIDS in Africa. Now, listen. We ought to have broken hearts about AIDS victims in Africa, and I think Christians ought to be doing something about it. But the question is there a right way, a wrong way? Is this type of ministry raised to the level of the ministry of the Word? You take a situation here. Let's just say the evangelical church locks arms with a political machine, Barack Obama, other congressmen, whatever the case may be, senators. Well, what's our message, first of all? You know, AIDS is, you know, bad in the sense that it's killing people. Well, what's the solution to the problem? Well, let's just take the barest of essentials. Rick Warren's message is going to be something to the effect, abstain until marriage. Well, Barack Obama's message is going to be, you know, condoms. And he's already made that plain. And then what if Barack Obama were to say, well, all right, you know, abstain as long as you can, but if you can't do that, condoms. Well, you take the whole situation in Uganda. The reason that AIDS has decreased in Uganda mm-hmm. is because they've been adhering to the message of abstain until marriage. But beyond that, Kevin, mm-hmm. what is our message? Is it even merely that? Isn't mm-hmm. our message something much more profound? Isn't mm-hmm. our message the gospel of Jesus Christ?
Exactly.
And we've got to be real careful not to lose the gospel in our efforts to save people from a physical disease, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it definitely does. You know, using this as a tool mm-hmm. to reach out to people or as the message itself. The mercy
yeah.
ministry is becoming a message in and of itself. There's a term for it. We call it a social gospel, and we should talk more about that when we come back.
I think you're absolutely right, and we will do that. And we want you to join the conversation. Help us not to be harsh, but help us not to compromise the gospel either. Let's talk about it. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Hi, I'm Darren Smith, and I'm the director of Providence Biblical Counseling Center. Our mission is to promote the sufficiency of Scripture in counseling through training and biblical discipleship. At Providence, our desire is to help those who are hurting and to see the lost experience salvation and the fullness of joy in Christ. Because we have freely received, we are to freely give. Therefore, our services are offered at no cost. To schedule an appointment, please call 864-420-2688. That's 420-2688.
Christmas displays in public schools. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My daughter is in elementary school. On almost every one of the classroom doors is both a menorah and Santa Claus. There was no display of anything that would reference the birth of Jesus. Is there something illegal about that or any attack that I can make?
Well, Susan, you don't want a situation where you're the only one, you know, the only holiday they're not making reference to is the Nativity. And by putting up a Christmas tree, they're not doing that. Or if they were to have, you know, a Merry Christmas statement or sign, it wouldn't give you the kind of equal access, if you will, that the other groups are getting. I think it's fine that they put the menorah up. Let me get you in touch with our lawyers right here at the American Center for Law and Justice. Let me also refer you to our website, Susan. There's some great information.
The American Center for Law and Justice, keeping Christ in Christmas. Visit us online at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Southern Stone is proud to be a sponsor of Calling for Truth. Their greatest desire is to magnify Jesus Christ in all they do. Southern Stone has been providing quality craftsmanship and excellent service in many fine upstate communities for over 10 years. To find out more about the benefits of stone and how to achieve your custom look, call Southern Stone at 864-879-3008. That's 879-3008. Southern Stone, a proud sponsor of Calling for Truth.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. We appreciate you tuning in today. For more information about our ministry, the Biblical Counseling Center, and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Well, the Apostle Paul says that he was eager to help the poor. Of course, the question is, what did he mean? What was the context of that statement? We ought to be eager to help the poor if we're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the Lord Jesus himself said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." Well, what did Jesus mean by that statement? Is he talking about those who are physically poor only, or is he talking about the poor in spirit? Critical questions to think about when we deal with this issue. Now, we do know that God cares for orphans and widows. We do know that a mark of holiness throughout the Scriptures is a care and a concern for orphans and widows and for those who are downcast and downtrodden. So we want to try to bring some biblical balance to this issue. But we're talking about mercy ministry today because there's some things that concern us. Just before the break, Kevin mentioned the social gospel. It was a social gospel movement back in the early part of the 20th century. More about that a little bit later, perhaps. But listen to a church. Well, it's an evangelical church, and they've got a statement. Listen to what the pastor says here, and think about this. "We aim to show the world that the gospel will transform the urban core. How? By the preaching of the cross as the power of God unto salvation? No. Through ministries of word, mercy, and justice, Christians must learn to respect, learn from, and partner with our neighbors, as well as show them love and compassion. We focus not just on personal healing, but social healing. Well, think about that statement. Would you agree with all of that? Part of that? Does that say it? Is that completely biblical? Is it thoroughgoingly biblical? Kevin, I'm going to put that question to you.
Hey,
give me your thoughts.
Hey, thank you much.
Yeah.
I wanted to, as we look at that question, you know, in the church today, you could just see that there's a pitfall here that we've got to be careful of. And it's happened before with other ministries, that you end up focusing so much on the mercy ministry that the gospel is lost in the equation. It gets buried. It gets suffocated by all of the other activities there. Now, again, I hope nobody is hearing us wrong and saying, well, these guys are not interested in mercy. If you knew our ministry and some of the things that we're involved in, you would see that that's not what we're saying at all. We are just guarding the gospel.
Yes.
Because the gospel is what people really need. You know, Jesus did make the statement, too, that the poor you have with you always.
Yeah.
You know, what do you mean by that statement? And the idea is that, you know, there will always be people that do not have enough. There's always going to be people that are suffering, and we should try as much as possible to alleviate that as much as possible. But there is a greater need, and the greater need is the spiritual need that's there. Mm. And the church primarily is the only organization on the face of the earth that is uniquely fitted to meet that need. And if we give that up to go after meeting social needs primarily, then who else is going to do that job? Who's going to go preach? The government?
Mm.
You know, we certainly don't want that to happen.
Right.
We don't want the politicians involved in this at all about preaching the gospel. Who's going to do it? The liberals, you know? We don't want them doing it because they don't even believe the scriptures, right?
Right.
So who else can do this job that we've been called to do other than the believers? So we've got to be very careful and guard it with our lives. You know, this is Paul's message to Timothy. You know, guard the gospel. It's the truth has been deposited into the church, and we must guard it with our very lives. And so even good things. Remember, Satan comes as an angel of light.
Yes.
So he doesn't come saying this is a bad thing and this is going to destroy your church and you're going to lose your message and your witness in the world. He doesn't come that way. He comes saying this is a very, very good thing. Get involved in it. You should be involved in it. And little by little, we lose the focus that we should have upon the gospel message. So I say, yes, we should be involved, but be very, very careful about to the extent that we're involved in these things.
Kevin, don't you think that this issue is very similar to the issue of evangelical political engagement?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and I both, and our listeners know this if they listen regularly. Those who read our blogs know this if they've seen anything on any kind of regularity. We believe in evangelical political engagement. In other words, we believe in being salt and light in this world. And, of course, by that we mean taking the gospel to every area of this world. And we believe the gospel should have an impact on every sphere of life.
Mm-hmm.
But so often in evangelical political engagement, there are those who get so focused on the politics and get so focused on the political issues and get so focused on the political rhetoric and the political debate that somewhere along the way, most often unintentionally, no doubt, but somewhere along the way, the gospel is either lost altogether or at least obscured, and the focus and the lion's share of one's time and effort and the message becomes something other than the gospel. And so if you see that as an illustration or a parallel, we believe in evangelical political engagement. Let's keep the gospel at the forefront. We believe in mercy ministry, but in mercy ministry, let's keep the gospel at the forefront. You see that as a parallel worth mentioning?
Yes, I think so. And we got to remember that in this particular instance where mercy ministry is like you're talking about with AIDS and homeless shelters and stuff that would be closer to home, you know, a lot of the aspects of mercy ministry in the local church. We got to remember that we pay taxes in this country, you know, and in some areas in the country we pay dearly. And, you know, that a lot of this money is supposed to be going to do this type of work. That's why we pay the taxes there. And so I think that sometimes there's frankly a lot of redundancy that is done that Christians are willing to give and they're, but I don't think that many times they're as good of stewards as they need to be. Take, for instance, like a WIC program, Women, Infant, and Children program, where they provide milk and eggs and high-protein items to women that are pregnant. Well, for the church then to say, hey, we need to go out and buy milk and eggs and stuff because this woman is in need, you know, is just redundancy. That I think that maybe what we need in the church is people that know some of the programs that are already out there, mm-hmm. that they can help people cut through the red tape and actually take part of things that we've already paid for. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe that would be a good way to do mercy ministry in the church. And rather than start up a whole new, another soup kitchen or another thing where there are already funds made available for these types of services. And I think a priority is a second issue that, is the priority people outside of the church, or do we see in the scriptures that the priority is for people inside of the church? And I think the case can be made that Paul says, do good unto all men, but then he adds to that, and especially mm-hmm. those of the household of faith. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason that is said in the scriptures is that the mercy goes along with the ministry of the word. Yeah. Rather than us just going out there and feeding somebody for a day and we don't have any ability to speak with them about the things of God, as we do it within the ministry of the church, people within our own congregations, we are able to then work with them. Sometimes there's reasons why people are in these positions, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Counseling reasons that need to be worked through the Word of God. And so we need to bring those out as well.
Well, that's right. And I'm glad you raised that issue because, again, we have to make that distinction between those within the church and those without. And it's very clear, for example, when you come to Acts chapter 6, a dispute arose between the Greek widows and mm-hmm. the Jewish widows. And, you know, the Greek widows weren't receiving their daily ration. Well, obviously, it was a mercy ministry right here to those within the church. And mm-hmm. Deacons were raised up, regardless of how you interpret that as the mm-hmm. establishment of deacons and all that. But obviously, there was a group of men, you know, called out to mm-hmm. handle this ministry, this mercy ministry within the church mm-hmm. so that the apostles could be given to the preaching of the word and prayer. And again, it's not to say that mercy ministry was beneath them. That is to say that they had a different role than others within the church. Now, that's a side issue, Kevin, and perhaps mm-hmm. we can touch on that a little bit later. There are folk within our church who are called to a prison ministry. There are folk within our church who feel called to minister to homeless folk. But that doesn't mean that every single person of the church is going to be involved in both of those ministries. We have other people who feel called to a biblical counseling ministry and other people who are called to our missions ministry, etc. And so there's a wonderful diversity within the body of Christ. But we make that distinction because should we help those who are outside of the church? As we're given opportunity, should our hearts go out to them? Absolutely. But here's the issue, Kevin. One of the things that's being said today is that if we're really going to be the church of Jesus Christ, and if we're really going to be effective in evangelism, and the world is going to see us as being real, then the only way that we're going to accomplish that is to engage in a full-orbed, fully-fledged mercy ministry outside of the church, say, dealing with AIDS victims in Africa, and it's only then that we can take the gospel to the nations. Well, when you look at the New Testament, I'm not so sure that that's the case. One example comes to mind. You've got this prophecy that the world is going to suffer a famine, Agabus,
yeah.
right. And what was Paul's immediate response? Was it that we should go out and try to feed all the folk of the world so we can advance the gospel? No. His response was to take up a collection for the saints at Jerusalem,
mm-hmm.
those who were already saved, those who were within the church. And, of course, Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. So isn't it the love that we have for one another in this regard that makes an impact and an impression upon the minds of those who are outside of the body of Christ?
Exactly. Let me give you an example of this that I've just heard recently. Of course, I was just traveling across the country, 12 states or something. We went through all the way over to Seattle, and we went to church on Sunday morning and a little church, and the fellow came in. He was in a ministry that was dealing with homeless kids, street kids or whatever, and he was a visiting preacher to the church, and his text was out of Luke chapter 10, which talks about the certain lawyer stood up and he tempted the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord says, you know what's written in the law, do it, and you'll be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And then the man says, well, you know, love that the Lord quotes to him the summary of the law, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And the man seeking to justify himself says, who is my neighbor? Out of that flows the parable about the Good Samaritan.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fella only preached the part about the Good Samaritan in the message. He left out the fact that it was related to eternal life.
Mm.
He mentioned nothing about that, although he read it as his text. He only picked out the Good Samaritan, so that at the end of the message, I felt like that if I gave to their street ministry, then I was doing what God wanted me to do. And, you know, even if I was an unbeliever that had come into the service, that what God wants me to do is to give to street ministry. And if I did that, I was doing the will of God. Well, that's not the gospel.
Right.
I mean, that's a good thing to do. But unsaved people do that every day.
That's right.
You've got all these Hollywood people going all over the world doing all these so-called benevolent works, right?
Mm.
Doesn't mean that they're saved.
Yeah.
And so he completely left out the part that dealt with the gospel.
Well, that's troubling. Let's talk a little bit more about that when we come back. Maybe make some more application out of that text. We'll take some calls at 1-888-660-WLFJ. You're listening to Calling for Truth.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. You can visit our website at callingfortruth.org, where you will find archives of past shows, Dr. Dean's crosswalk commentary, audio sermons, and other helpful resources at callingfortruth.org.
Is your money working as hard as it should be? This is Tony Peters with Edward Jones. If you want to provide for your children's education, reduce your tax bill, or prepare for a comfortable retirement, we need to talk. Today, more than ever, your financial security deserves the attention of a full-time investment representative. Take advantage of our years of experience. Give me a call at 864-232-6713. That's 232-6713. Or better yet, stop by my office on North Main Street in downtown Greenville. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Are you captive to the sin of pornography, gluttony, gambling, or homosexuality? Setting Captives Free exists to offer Christ-centered hope and freedom to those in the grips of sin through accountability to Bible-based truth, resulting in the free enjoyment of life in and for the glory of God. Be set free by the truth of God's Word through daily Bible study and accountability. Log on to SettingCaptivesFree.com today and begin your journey to freedom in Christ.
If you have the desire to help a child that is struggling in school, STRIDES, a Christian nonprofit tutoring program, needs volunteers now to commit to 2 late afternoons a week to help needy children in our neighborhoods. Call Dr. Everett at 246-9898 or go to our website, stridestutor.org. Our children are failing, and you can be the answer. Please call 246-9898.
You're listening to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, please call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now here are the host of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, I feel like we just have to bring out some points to make sure we're not being misunderstood. Word, deeds, doctrine, action, credenda, agenda, these things go together. Zacchaeus, for example, gave half of his possessions to the poor. That was after he was saved. The Lord Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. The evidence of salvation is practical. It's financial compassion for the poor. Jesus' words to the man who invited him to a feast, he said this, when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. So again, we're to be merciful. We're to be compassionate. We're to help those who are in need. We're to help as the Lord puts opportunity before us. We're to do it with great joy. We're even to sacrifice, I think, as believers. That's
part and parcel of who we are. It demonstrates our heart. But at the same time, let's not get carried away, and let's not think that the ministry of the church is social only. Let's not think that we're one organization among many trying to help the plight of people in this world only, I mean. Because after all, as Kevin Bowling pointed out at the top of the broadcast, the church has a message that no one else has. The church has an agenda that no one else has, and that message is that Jesus Christ is eternal life, and that there is eternal life for those who believe in Him. No other message is sufficient, and no other organization propagates that message other than the Church of Jesus Christ. So, Kevin, we're thinking about these things. We're trying to remain in biblical balance. You know, I use that phrase a lot, by the way, not balance for balance's sake. Never after that. You know, that's what politicians are after, or other folk, or some folk, you know, skateboarders. But we, we are after biblical balance, right?
That's right.
We want to say what the Scripture says.
Exactly. And I hope that that reading of the Good Samaritan passage, that people got the point there. Again, the fella only preached about the parable there, and he made some excellent points, by the way. He talked about the fact that it mentions that the man was stripped naked by the thieves that jumped him there, and he, in saying that, he was asking, you know, why does the text mention that he was stripped naked? And he was saying that the reason that he thought it was that you couldn't attribute any social value to the person that was there on the side of the road. You couldn't see what he was wearing and then say, well, this is a rich man. You know, I should help him. Maybe he's going to give me a reward afterwards. You know, there was no way to identify whether he was rich or poor or anything because he was naked. And so I thought that he brought out some good points. But in just preaching the parable, I thought it was very illustrative of the fact of what we're talking about here, about the slight change that can happen in the ministry of the church. That the gospel, the part about, you know, what about the part of inheriting eternal life? What about the original question that was asked by the lawyer in that passage? Listen, we could feed people all day long, but, you know, what about their souls? What about them? They're never dying souls. People can be spiritually hungry, spiritually poor, like it was pointed out in the Beatitudes. You know, this is the priority in the church that we've got to be concerned with. We've got to make sure that we're doing that job first. And so I just thought that it was interesting by this fellow leaving off the rest of that. He was kind of illustrating what's happening so often to the gospel today and the pressure that's being put upon the church. We need to do something to deal with these social issues. We need to help the poor. We need to do a Habitat for Humanity house. I think sometimes we just do these things to salve our own consciences, that we really, you know, because we're not as busy and we're not as focused as we should be about the gospel message, we know we should be doing something. Let's just throw a little bit of money at this program, and that will make us feel better about what we're doing when we may not actually be doing the biblical work that God has called us to do.
Yeah, and
that's hard.
Well, it is, and it kind of raises some other issues. And again, we don't want to be guilty, and I say this for myself, Kevin, I just think you're giving good instruction, but I don't want to be guilty of just, you know, taking pot shots at this side or the other. We're trying to be constructive, and we're trying to be prescriptive here, but, you know, it's kind of like, you know, at Christmas time, a lot of the time, we'll really launch into a big effort, you know, to give gifts to a particular group of people. Now, is there anything wrong? Well, no. But if we really believe that we need to be, you know, giving to the poor, if this is part and parcel of what the church is all about, why aren't we doing that all year long, you see? And I'm just, you know, throwing that out and make sure we check our motivation. I'm not saying that I don't donate to give Christmas gifts.
Right.
I'm just saying we need to think about these things, right?
That's right. Evaluate and audit what we're doing in the church constantly to make sure that we're doing what we should be doing. And again, we have limited time, you know, to do everything that we need to do, and we need to make sure that we are prioritizing what the ministry of the church is.
Yeah, and I think there's something to be said. We're going to go to the phone lines right here in just a moment, but I think there's something to be said that, again, God calls us to minister out of our giftedness, and so often we really don't think as much about that as we should. And here's what I mean by that. you know, sometimes it's very few people, 20% do 80% of the work, and they end up just working themselves to death, and they end up burning out, to use a you know, psychological word. Losing heart is probably a more biblical way to put it, but they lose heart because they're so busy and they're so worn out, and others aren't doing this, that, or the other, but they're also doing things that they're not necessarily particularly called or equipped to do so often. And listen, if you are doing what God's called you and gifted you to do, you're going to have a peace and a joy in that. And so, again, I go back to the illustration, prison ministry for those who have a burden there, missions for those who have a burden there, you know, the biblical counseling ministry, the teaching ministry, et cetera. There are all kinds of things that we can be doing as individuals. But there again, those are different dynamics than, again, raising a mercy ministry to the level of saying, well, you're not a biblical church if you don't have an outreach to the orphans, for example. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And again, I know you see what I'm saying because we're making that point. Let's go to the phone lines. We want to get some folk to help us clarify what we're saying. Rena is on the line. Rena, you're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Rena.
I really, really like what y'all are saying, and I agree with everything, especially the corporate ministry of helping the community. As you know, we have a couple of ministries, like you've been mentioning, Paul, at our church, where you know, we're ministering to the community, where with the prison ministry and with the cancer ministry coming up here soon.
That's right.
And I think that those are very important. And Paul, you just mentioned that, you know, don't try and work outside of your giftedness because you're going to lose heart. And it also puts forward a false sense of work. Let me explain what I mean. If you're doing something in ministry that you do not love, that you're not committed to, the people that you're ministering with will see that, and they'll get the idea that, well, we have to do this just because it's expected of us. No, we don't have to do anything. God's going to do it whether we do it or not. And it should be our joy to minister in whatever capacity that he has gifted us. Okay, so that's one point that I want to make. Another point is something that you said about ministering to people that are outside of the church. As a whole, I think that for personal holiness and growing in the Lord, that each individual Christian needs to seek to minister to people on a one-to-one or a family-to-family basis. Because tell me if you agree with this. People don't really want a handout. They don't want your charity. And it's, I'm not saying that people don't want to, you know, be helped, but sometimes if a gift is just given and, you know, it's like a wham bam thank you, man, it just comes across cold. And I know that no true believer wants to give that impression, but it does seem that way.
Do you agree with what I'm saying? Yeah, Rena, I've seen it like that, you know, where we're just, you know, checking off our duty. You know, we feel that it's our duty to do that. And so, like you say, it's done in a way that is, remember, we're questioning here, too, whether this is a ministry and a methodology that the church should adopt in order to draw the lost people to the gospel. Some people are saying mercy ministry needs to be done because if it's not done in the world, they're saying if you do it in the world, that this will be a tremendous tool to draw the lost to the church, to draw the lost to the Lord Jesus Christ ultimately. Well, if it's done in the way that you were just saying, that we just do it to put a notch in our belt to say that we have a mercy ministry, and we just go there, like you say, and do it in a haphazard manner, or we just go through the motions and collect the toys and send them off somewhere, and, you know, and I also attributed it to saving our own consciences, you know, making us feel good about what we're doing, how is that going to draw the world? Like you're saying,
it's not, is it?
No, it's not. It's, I think, done on a much more personal basis, like Paul was saying, you know, where somebody personally is gifted to do this, or just as an individual Christian, you see a need. God drops these types of situations in our life at many different times. And certainly we should, in those situations, reach out and do it. We're questioning really the corporateness of it, whether the church should be involved in it from a corporate level, and whether that would distract us from doing it, you know, from being about the other ministries that the Lord has given us to do.
And Raina,
hey, Kevin, oh, I'm
no,
sorry. Go ahead.
No,
Paul.
You go ahead. My bad. Can you hold through the break?
Yeah, sure.
Let me ask you that, because the producer gave us the
And when
sign.
We come back, Kevin, what you're saying, I it leads to my third point.
Okay.
All right, don't forget it, okay, Raina?
Okay.
All right, we're going to let Raina hold through the break. We'll get to her comments after that. We'll take your calls if you'd like to dial us up. We'll make a few other points before we close it out today on Calling for Truth. We're talking about Mercy Ministry. You know, we have a biblical counseling ministry at our church, and so often we help folk in need as those needs come up in counseling. But we're dealing with spiritual issues as well as physical issues. We'll talk more about it after the break. Stay tuned.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Imagine if one of the discs in your spine is swollen and it applies pressure on the adjacent nerve. That right there can give you the numbness in the hand, can give you the numbness in the toes. It can give you problems with impotence, infertility. It can give you problems with dizziness, vertigo, all depending on which nerve fibers are being affected.
Say goodbye to pain and live well with Dr. Manuel Izquierdo. Wednesdays at 12:30 on Christian Talk 660.
Okay, I understand you were a witness to the accident.
Well, I'm not good at describing things, but I was standing here looking in the general direction when it happened, but that's about all.
Well, for the police record, you want to tell me what happened?
I don't really think I should.
I'm sorry? Why not?
It's that there's a lot I just don't know.
What do you mean?
Well, like their names. I don't have any idea of the names of anyone driving. I don't know where they came from or where they were going, what they were thinking or what they were looking at. Don't ask me. I don't know.
Often we forget that a witness only needs to say what he knows.
Can you just tell me what you saw when the accident happened?
Okay, well, the white car ran the red light and rammed into the blue car. That's all I know. I wish I could tell you more, but that's all I got.
That'll do fine, sir.
The Bible tells Christians, if anybody asks why you believe as you do, be ready to tell him. If people ask, say what you know. That's all that is required of a good witness. A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.
Hi, I'm Darren Smith, and I'm the director of Providence Biblical Counseling Center. Our mission is to promote the sufficiency of Scripture in counseling through training and biblical discipleship. At Providence, our desire is to help those who are hurting and to see the lost experience salvation and the fullness of joy in Christ. Because we have freely received, we are to freely give. Therefore, our services are offered at no cost. To schedule an appointment, please call 864-420-2688. That's 420-2688.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship are dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. If you would like more information on our biblical counseling materials, log on to callingfortruth.org. Now here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Well, we're into the last segment. You still have time to join the conversation. 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. I'm going to say this before we go back to Raina. Thank you for being patient, by the way, Raina. I think sometimes we so want to see results. You know, we work hard in the gospel. We work hard in ministry. We want to see folks saved. And we don't necessarily see folks saved every day. And so, you know, we've got folk who are hungry, and we want to help them. Our heart goes out, and I think sometimes we can take the focus and make it something that it ought not be, or at least it's out of skew, so that we can see those results. And like you say, Kevin, it puts salve on our consciences. And again, nothing wrong with helping those in need, but again, we've got to keep the main thing the main thing. The whole social gospel movement, you know, at the turn of the 20th century, you know, started with some of the talk that we're hearing today, and the gospel itself was lost.
Mm.
And that's where some of our, well, our Presbyterian brethren came up with the fundamentals of the faith. People like J. Gresham Machen and those who stood strong for the truth and recovered the gospel. And, of course, they wouldn't be against social ministry, but they are against social gospel, which is really no gospel at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've just got to be very, very careful and make sure that our desire to see tangible results doesn't override what we're called to do, what we're called to be, and we walk by faith and not by sight. If we continue to minister the word, God will change hearts. And if we continue to call people to Christ, he will indeed save souls. So we'll talk more about that, perhaps, but let's go back to Rena. She's been holding, and Rena, you had a couple of more thoughts you wanted to share with us. Thanks for tuning in today.
Yeah, thank you. The last thing that I wanted to say was, as far as helping corporately in a mercy ministry, I like what you said earlier about the scripture. Am I going out? Can you hear me good?
No, we can hear you, yes.
Okay. The gospel and the letters from Paul, Jesus himself, speaks about helping those that are in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm sure that in different congregations, people are doing that. You know, helping mm-hmm. one another. But isn't it fundamentally important that that we don't just stay in our local church body? Network with other churches and see what needs need to be met in other churches. And by doing that, in my mind, it seems like there will be ties that can be or bodies brought together. And I'm not talking about some sort of ecumenical movement. I'm just talking about bringing making connections with other bodies.
Yeah, Rena, I think you make a good point. I mean, for example, we have a biblical counseling ministry, and we're involved with other churches in that regard, with regard to training and resources. We're starting the In His Image ministry for disabled children and parents, special needs, and Darren Smith and Carrie Smith are heading that up, and we want to make that available to other churches. And, of course, we avail ourselves of resources in other churches, resources that we're not able to provide. We network with other folks. I think you make a great point.
Mm-hmm. You know, go ahead, Rena.
I'm sorry. Well, you know, there something that's really close to my heart lately is and I know it's on y'all's heart because I hear it on the show a lot, the gospel just being watered down and just being absent in a lot of churches.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems as if, you know, mercy ministry in this way could open up doors to get sound brothers into other churches. I hate to sound like I'm, you know, proposing something covert, you know, let's feed them so that we can get some good preaching in there. I'm just saying, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Well, I kind of like that idea. We may adopt it. No, just kidding.
Anyway, I'll hang up and let y'all finish talking about this, and I'll listen.
All right, Rena, thanks for the call. We appreciate it as always.
You know, Paul, as we're dialoguing about this, I was just writing down some priorities to kind of summarize what we were talking about, and Rena just helped me there to add another one on. Here's, I guess, if we could summarize the conversation, what we're saying is that the ministry of the Word of God must be first in the church.
Yeah.
We can never abandon that. It's the most important. It deals with people's eternal souls, which is far more important than feeding their physical body. So we can never abandon that. That must be top priority.
And that's why we don't want to fall into the same trap that was laid back in the first part of the 20th century that led to the social gospel movement, which was a loss of the gospel itself.
Exactly. So that has to be first and foremost, and we focus on that primarily on this program. You know, theology issues, you know, where we talk about the Word of God and how do we make application of these texts to our lives on a daily basis. That has to be first and foremost. The ministry of the word is what the church does and what the church does best, better than anybody else on the planet, and we can never give that up and go off and to do something else. So that's number one. Number two is that if we are going to be involved in mercy ministry, if we're saying that that is part and parcel of the gospel, that it's a natural outflow of our theology, which I think the statement could be made that it is, I think that it has to begin first in the church, like we've been saying. Mercy ministry within our local congregations first. In other words, we've got to be cognizant and receptive to the needs that are there within our own body of believers, and we've got to work hard on meeting those needs, along with the ministry of the words very often, ministry of the word very often, but that need has to be met first.
Well, that's exactly right, and I think if you look at the scriptures, you're going to find the vast majority of the texts that deal with showing mercy and helping others are within the context of helping those who are of the household of faith. Mm-hmm. Not to say that you don't help others, but again, the vast majority. The Lord, you know, Jesus basically indicated that showing mercy is a test of our profession of faith. But when he said, "Truly I say unto you, as you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me."
Mm.
He said, "As you did it unto the least of these, my brothers, you did it unto me."
Mm.
See, and so we need to keep every text within its own context. The practice of the apostles demonstrated that the church's ministry of mercy was primarily to its members. Now, that's something lacking in the church. I'll say that. That's another broadcast.
Right.
Then to the outsiders, but primarily to its members.
Right. And remember, the Lord said, "By this show all men know that you are my disciples,"
yes,
"that you have love one for another." And that love is demonstrated in the mercy ministry within the church. So that I told our folks, if we get this right about loving one another and all the aspects of it, people will be knocking down the doors to try to get into this congregation.
That's right.
They'll say, "I want to be there." You should see how these people care about one another. When one hurts, they all hurt, and they're willing to do something about it. And then here's the point that I think that I had left out that Rena filled in there for us. Then the next aspect of this, the next priority, if I could put it that way, related to mercy ministry, is that we have to think about the larger body of Christ as well.
Mm.
That we are not an island, but we're part of the larger body, like you read that text where they were concerned about the needs in Jerusalem
that's right.
They sent to them. And I think that that's important. You're in the SBC. They have the cooperative program, so they have something in place there to do that. But even us, as an independent church, should be interested in doing that as well.
Well, that's right, and we took several groups down to Louisiana and Mississippi in the aftermath of the hurricane.
Right.
There's mercy ministry right there, and we helped people who were Christians, but we helped a lot of people who were not Christians.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we're not saying we don't do these things.
Right.
We just want to put it in its proper place.
And doing it through the church is so much better. You know, you send your money off to, you know, the United Way or something else, and, you know, you just never know where this money is going. You remember all the money that was abused that people sent, Christians sent to Katrina. They found out they were buying lottery tickets with it and bling and all kinds of other stuff. And so, I mean, come on. I think doing it through the church is the best way. And then the final point is that the mercy ministry to the world. We've got to be concerned about people in the world as well.
Sure.
And, you know, obviously we should be doing that type of work as well. Like you said, donating to various causes, building a Habitat for Humanity, if that's what you can do. The types of stuff that Terry does on going out with his food ministry and those types of things, I think are just wonderful as well.
Well, that's right. And I think that, Kevin, you and I agree that we need a renewed commitment to the Great Commission itself, making disciples of all the nations, baptizing and the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything the Lord Jesus has commanded us. The mission is to make disciples. The means of making disciples, baptizing and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord Jesus didn't say, "Go make disciples by engaging in mercy ministry."
Mm-hmm.
We make disciples through baptizing and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
But out of that flows a compassion that Jesus gives us. Out of that flows mercy ministry.
Amen.
But let's keep the priority, the main thing, and we'll be honoring the Lord, we'll be reaching people for Christ, and we'll be helping those in need, and we'll do that in conjunction with the gospel of Jesus Christ. George Whitfield, the great evangelist, the great missionary, back and forth across the ocean 13 times, had an orphanage, but he preached the gospel more than anything. We'll talk tomorrow about something else on Calling for Truth.
Thanks again for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. To contact us for more information about our ministry, the resources that we have to offer, or to make a tax-deductible donation to our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship. If you have enjoyed today's program, be sure to join us each weekday at 1 o'clock for Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660 WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
You're tuned to 50,000 watts of hope and encouragement. Christian Talk 660. WL.